So today we're going to talk a little bit about food sensitivity, kind of an unusual topic for us, but as you will see and understand through the course of Changing Mind, things do not always, things are not as they seem. So when we speak of food sensitivity, the question is, how is about the sensitivity of food, if that is the question, or just the where we're going with this, is that food is very sensitive. It is quite well known that a woman who is menstruating should not cook for others because she is channeling much energy, quite a bit of negative energy, just like a waterfall does, through her body. And so it is considered unwise for a menstruating woman to cook for others because the food is very sensitive to the current that is running through her. And likewise, you know, food is very sensitive to your mood, to how you are when you are consuming the food, not just cooking it. So bringing awareness to food is really, I suppose, the topic for today. And again, we're going to deviate in the sense of what is food? What is food? It is not practically the entire scope of nature food for humans or medicine. The abundance of life that is there for us is food. And that food comes also as food for thought, for instance. And we are evolving. The mind is evolving. We speak of the sort of big mind and the little mind, just as there is a big ego and a little ego. A parent kind of ego and a child ego. You may also call it the conscious ego and the not conscious ego, etc. But there's a little bit of a differentiation there. So when we speak about the evolving mind or changing mind, it is the mind that is able to concentrate. So it's a composing of the mind, also known as samadhi, which we talked a little bit about in the same. For same is the root of samadhi, equanimity. So composing the mind to be in equanimity so that we can balance out our joy and pain, be in the balance of joy and pain simultaneously, for instance. But basically just balancing everything. Shakespeare was quite brilliant at balancing even the image of the tragic face and the comedic face, almost like a yin-yang symbol, working together. And he was quite a master of using drama and comedy. Quite simultaneously. Sometimes what was very dramatic had a quirky underlying comedic twist, and likewise the other way around. But even such food as Shakespeare, and certainly a lot of the New Age writing, and even the Bhagavad Gita, everything that is there now, is feeding the mind so that it can reach samadhi. And so at some point we lift off and we leave that. For that food for thought is like feeding a butterfly what a caterpillar eats. So in the course of Changing Mind, we begin to wean the little mind from what a caterpillar eats and prepare it for what a butterfly eats. Likewise, the book An Inkling's Weave, which you will have for the course, is reprogramming of the mind so that it's actually, we like to say in the course that the writing reads you. So the writing is scanning you and accessing gaps of understanding, or we really aren't sure exactly what it's doing. I cannot tell you exactly what it's doing, but it is reading you and scanning you. Let's just leave it at that. And as the words do so, they also have the ability to penetrate you, to be used as a salve. Words are very, very powerful. Each single word contains so much power. And there was a time, and it is still happening, where the words did become confused. The words themselves, some of them, many of them, in the English language, because the English is such a mosh pit to begin with of languages, they forgot who they were. The words themselves became blistered and worn out and carbuncled. And so we have been, in An Inkling's Weave in particular, is the first of three books that are medicine for the words, so that the words can bring their medicine. And in this, we bring food for the mind to reach samadhi. So no longer feeding you what a caterpillar eats, for you are becoming a butterfly. Some food for thought. Salmon is considered the symbol for the abundance of life. And every good fisherman knows that in order to catch fish, you cannot have any bananas on your boat. If you have bananas on your boat, you will not catch any fish. One of Christ's disciples, or several of them, but in particular, Peter, was a fisherman. Terence McKenna also speaks quite vividly about the job of the visionary is similar to a fisherman. The visionary casts out its net and brings in the fish to feed the people. The visual, the visionary fish, so to speak. But the vision, calling in the vision. The vision is a thing. The vision also could be considered food. It is a way of also reprogramming, if you will, the caterpillar mind to be adapting to its butterfly state. So all of this is happening right now, this chrysalis stage, and weaning from one stage to another. I like to use the term weaning because many people are addicted to the caterpillar state, to the foods of the caterpillar, to the ways of the caterpillar. But just as a caterpillar will change into a butterfly, so will all things follow change. Change has already been laid out anyway, which again, we talk about quite a bit in the course, that we do not make change. We adapt to what change has waiting for us. And so, no bananas. I don't really know what it is about bananas. I know there's something up with bananas. I have not yet understood exactly what. But no bananas in the boat if you would like to catch fish to bring them back to feed the people. And when we sit in ceremony with Wachuma, Wachuma is the original name of the cactus that is also known as Saint San Pedro, which is named for Saint Peter, because it is said that Wachuma gave Saint Peter the keys to heaven. Now, of course, doesn't mean that he went to heaven, he just had the keys. Maybe he didn't even know where it was. Certainly, you know, door number one, door number two, door number three. You only got the key. But that's a good place to start. Just as Alice in Wonderland, you know, when she was stuck in the little room swirling with water and she had the key. But she didn't read the instructions. And it was really the instructions that were the key. When we work with the medicines, we are fishing. When we sit with Wachuma, Wachuma instructs us to gather the medicine that is in the world, just as we gather plants and animals and grains to eat. The Wachuma teaches us to gather the medicines and bring them back for the people. So we do so, and we bring them back in council. The morning after, we sit for the whole day in ceremony, we have council, and everybody brings back the medicine to feed the people. And it's kind of like stone soup. Everything goes into the big pot in the center, and the soup just gets tastier and tastier and tastier. So like the fisherman or the visionary goes out and retrieves and brings back something to feed the people. So do we in working with the plant medicines and meditation. There's many, many ways, many, many ways. And certainly just having your experiences in life, for experience is the mother of all teachers. A little fat to chew on. My teacher once said, all stories contain some things that are fact and some that are true. I like to think that the facts are like a little bit of fat to chew on. Okay, until next time. Aho.